Welcome to the Pipeline Podcast, coming to you live from Salt River Fields in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's Arizona Fall League coverage. I'm Jonathan Mayo, pretty much all by my lonesome. Mr. Callis is off this week. Tim McMaster's covering some other event in Chicago right now. I'm not sure what that's about. I don't think it's as important as the Arizona Fall League, what's going on. So as much as I could wax poetic for 20 minutes easy about how much I love the Fall League, I figured no one's going to want to listen to that. So I went looking for the best talker in the Fall League. And he wasn't available, so I grabbed Brett Phillips instead. I'm joking. Brett Phillips from the Milwaukee Brewers joined us. Brett, thank you so much for taking some time. Second go-round for you in the Fall League. How does that make it different, if at all, compared to last year?
Yeah, you know, last year was a great taste. I was only here half the year last year before going over to Taiwan and Japan for that USA baseball tournament, but you know, I know it's expected now. This is a great league. I enjoy playing with the best prospects all across the minor leagues, and you know, watching them go about their business. And also for me, you know, I didn't have the season I wanted to have, so this is a great opportunity for comeback and you know, kind of refine my tools a little bit, and for me to end on a positive note going into the off season.
Let's put a pin in that for a second. We'll talk about your regular season, but this is not a results-oriented league. You're working on things, and that still, this is a results-oriented industry, right? So I'm sure you want to put up good numbers. You've been drawing a lot of walks. I'm sure you're probably not hitting quite the way you're, but what are the positives that you're taking away, even if the numbers aren't you know what you would love to see them at?
Yeah, you know, so far I'm just honestly going up there trying to have a great approach and put together the best at bat I can. Whether I'm getting a good pitch to hit or not, like you said, I've been drawing some walks here and there, but you know, just trying to get better all around. Whether I'm playing some right field now, so it's an opportunity for me to get some good looks out there in right field. On the bases, you know, just trying to be aggressive, taking first to third, you know, basically all around, just refining each and every part of those tools and those assets, and helping a team win. Even though, obviously, like you said, it's not necessarily result-oriented, but working on things, we're still out here to win, and whatever I can do to contribute to the team to help win. So that's a big part of me being out here as well.
Let's go back to the season that you had, because you're a guy who had not struggled all that much offensively, and this year you had that for the first time. What were the root causes of it, and what did you do to try not to, because I know that I think the human instinct is to one swing of the bat try to get out of whatever slump or rut you might be in.
And that's exactly what it was, you know, trying to get four hits in one at bat. It's physically
impossible.
Hard
to do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I found myself in a hole first time really in my professional career, and which was actually, looking back at it, it was great. You know, that's adversity. And most of these big leaguers now, they've went through the same thing I went through, you know. So it was just a matter of, it was a learning experience for me being, you know, not putting together the best season I had. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, I just trying to overcome that adversity. And that the season didn't go that well, but that's okay, you know, put it behind us and moving forward.
Well, you know, it's one of those really, really tired cliches that this is a game of failure. The best players fail 7 out of 10 times, right? So,
yeah,
you know, better to have more of that when you're in Double A than, say, once you get to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, because, say, I got to the big leagues while just absolutely lighting up the minor leagues, and I get to the big leagues and I start experiencing this failure I did this year, and that's a lot bigger scale. You got 30,000, 40,000 plus the media looking down on you, and then you're like, holy cow, like, I've never experienced this before. But now I've kind of got like a grip on those emotions and that failure. So when I am down in that hole, I'm not 10 feet deep before I'm trying to get out of it. I can feel myself, you know, creeping down, and I learned how to cope with it better. So it was good experience for me. You know, there was positives I took away from the season. I walked a lot. You know, power numbers were up a little bit. But I still have to continue to work and get better, you know. There were a lot of negatives as well. The strikeouts which I need to, you know, lower and stuff. But it's one day at a time. Not getting ahead of myself and just putting one foot in front of the other and just keep going, you know, keep working hard and grinding.
Now, you said you're getting a lot of reps in right field here this fall. What's the biggest difficulty moving around outfield position? Because I think sort of to the casual fan, it's like, it's the outfield. I know there are different angles and the ball comes off the bat differently, but what's the toughest thing for you after having played, you know, more center field than anything else to see some time in right?
Yeah, I've played my whole, you know, all through high school and mostly all of my career, I've been in center field. So it's more been like a, you know, captain of the outfield type. What when in right field, you know, you're not used to someone calling you off in the gaps, you know, but like you said, the angles are a lot tougher. You don't get this type of, like the spin off like a righty or lefty. Usually it's more true in center field. You get a better look because you're straight up with the hitter. But in the corners, you get that slice going away from you. Or, you know, the lefty, you know, kind of like that pull at you. So that's one thing that I've been, you know, I can play each outfield position. I feel like I can play it at a premium, the best that I can. And but it's just good to be getting the reps and kind of keep it fine-tuned. So, you know, when I get to the big leagues, if Craig wants me playing right field or center field or left field, I can help him whatever outfield position that is that needs, that he thinks I'm going to help the team win.
I like how you at first were starting to describe the spin visually.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is an audio podcast. Doing this with your hands.
Yeah, you guys can't see what I was doing with my hands.
He was visually showing me the way the ball comes off the bat. So I get it. The rest of you listening, you'll just have to close your eyes and imagine.
Yeah.
What happens after the fall league for you?
You know, just go home, and it's kind of like a waiting game for me now. It is my protection year, 5 years in the minor leagues. So we'll see what the Brewers decide to do. Whatever it is, you know, I'm just looking forward to spring training. I'm going to go work out and get ready for the next year, and that's all I can really do.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways for you personally, it's a no-lose, right? Because I have to think you're either going to be put on the 40-man roster, and if I were a betting man, which I'm not, you're going to get put on the 40-man roster, but if you're not, someone's bound to take in the Rule 5 draft, and then you might get a crack. So it's like, good all around, or it can be.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm 22 years old, still pretty young, I guess you could say, but the plan is, you know, I hope to be put on the 40-man, but whatever it is, whatever happens, I'm just going to be prepared for spring training with whoever it is and try and win a job.
Let me ask you about some of the other guys that you've seen. Okay, we'll stick just with within your organization mostly. Jacob Nottingham is a guy you know pretty well.
Yeah.
But I was impressed that when I was out here the first week of the season, I hadn't never seen him actual catch before, and he was moving really well, better than the reports were. It seems like he's come a long way. What have you seen from him over the course of this year?
You know, I've been with him since the Astros, and then he was a short stint over with the Oakland. But, yeah, he's evolved into a great catcher. You know, you look at his size, and you're like, well, there might be some issues with his mobility. But this is a guy who played linebacker in high school, and he's very athletic and very strong. So back behind the plate, he's got a great arm. It definitely shows. And mobility-wise, he's just gotten a lot better. That's a contribute to him being in like the weight room and a lot of flexibility. This guy stretches more than anyone I know, and it's a testament to how well he's been moving back there for how big he is. So
I know that he is very determined to prove all those people who say that he's not gonna be able to catch that he can.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's all about. If someone tells you you can't, you know, as a human, as an athletic human being, your first thing is you're gonna prove them wrong. So, you know, that's good. It's good constructive criticism from people who says he can't move. It's actually helped him, like you said. He wants to prove people wrong, and that's what he's trying to do.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about is Isan Diaz, who's a guy who was, you know, in the lower level of the minors. So you're probably really getting an extended look at him now. I can't help but be impressed with how he swings the bat, especially given his age. It seems, even though he's a little bit out of gas, long season and all, he's fit right in here.
Man, for everyone listening, this guy is a complete stud. Everything you read about him hitting, it's all true. And I didn't get to play with him this year. He's been in the lower levels, but he's out here. He carries himself like he belongs here. Like he's older. He's the youngest guy on this team, and he's got the best, purest left-handed swing that you've ever seen. And very comparable to Robinson Cano. This guy actually, when he's struggling, will go and look at Robinson Cano videos just to see, like, you know, what he does. And it's very, very similar. And like I said, man, he's a great guy. For how young he is, he's mature in the clubhouse, which is always good. And he's carrying himself like a big leaguer, and he's playing like one too. So that's awesome to see, definitely for our organization. You know, we're trying to put the Brewers here on the map, and I feel like we got a great minor league system coming up to help do that.
Were you here over Halloween last year?
I left before, yeah.
Are you a big Halloween guy?
Not much, but I'm familiar with like the costume practice. Is that what you're going
to?
Yeah,
I was going to ask you if you're going to get in on that.
Yeah, so our team, you heard it first, is going to be, we're all going to be in pajamas, so like onesies and stuff. And yeah, it should be pretty crazy.
Pajama day. My kids have that in school.
What is that, every Monday?
Yeah, no, I wish. That's me in my home office. Shh, don't tell anybody.
I won't tell anyone that.
But all right, good, pajamas. I remember seeing Pete O'Brien out here in a Peter Pan costume taking batting practice.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's all fun and games, and that's a day where, you know, grown men can come together and kind of, you know, just have some fun, because, you know, we're professional. Almost 365, you know, so it's a good day to do what we do every day, but in a costume, which is pretty fun.
It's pretty funny, because most people would look at you guys and be like, Gary, you're grown men, but you're playing a game for a living. So it's you already get to do what kids dream of doing all the time.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right, well, Brett, thank you for filling excellent time and filling. I don't think we need Callis and McMaster to come out. You want to just do the podcast with me every week?
Yeah, you know, Callis, you guys can just hang it up at home, and John and I will take care of it. So you guys enjoy your vacations, and Jim, whatever you're doing in Chicago, I it's not very important. I know that, but just know you missed out here in the fall league.
All right, this has been probably the best edition of the Pipeline Podcast ever. My thanks to Brett Phillips. Talk to you next week.